Hi, everybody. This is a National Liberty Alliance conference, courtroom observer conference call on March 29th, 2017. And sorry I've been gone for a couple of weeks, but I'm back. And I was wondering if anybody has anything to report to me. Anything? Got anybody anything to share? Doesn't sound like Crystal's on here. Crystal was working with John a little bit on her case and keeping her house. I was hoping she'd come on tonight. Anybody working on any cases themselves or helping anybody?
I'm not helping anybody, but I'd like to make a comment about two things.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yesterday, President Trump signed an executive order about the Bureau of Land Management and an overreach of power. So I'm curious about what's going to happen with the Bundys and the people up in Washington and Oregon. Also, about last week, in the middle of the week, he signed an executive order about the Waters of America taking back the... It's supposed to be about navigable waters, not about some stock pond somebody digs in his back 40, you know? So he walked that back. And I'm wondering if the people that are in jail, if it's going to affect them. Are they going to be released? That was my question.
Right. Well, I hope so. But, you know, it's the same thing they did and when they legalized marijuana in the different states. They didn't let the people that had stupid marijuana charges out. You know, it should be. They should let them out. It just doesn't make any sense to not do it. But then it doesn't make any sense. They don't make any sense because it's a criminal organization. But
it's really simple. It took a constitutional amendment to ban alcohol. The federal government has no authority to ban anything. We need to take them down.
Yeah,
they have no authority to do it. It's a UN agenda.
Yep. So did anybody listen to the Monday night call? I couldn't get on. So anything earth-shattering on the Monday night call?
I don't know. I missed it, too.
I caught the first hour, and there wasn't anything earth-shattering.
Okay. All right. I just feel like I'm a little behind.
I can tell you this about the Monday night call.
Uh-huh.
Is Ollie is working overtime to try to make NLA news front and center. And in your courtroom observers,
yeah,
we might be able to have a wall of shame for these courts.
Huh.
And maybe link it to Drudge Report, maybe Alex Jones or Breitbart as a news reporting agency, because we're dealing with the reporting the courts. The court reporters could be a really, really valuable tool in the future. I think all people that are court watchers should get their press credentials at National Liberty. So they represent the press, and they should learn how to take dictation in shorthand.
Well, what about, I mean, usually they can, I mean, most people have been at least writing it down. I mean, learning shorthand, I don't know. But there is a link on the, you know, if you go to Courtroom Observer Committee, you know, we're under committees, the Courtroom Observer Committee, there's a protocol. And there's like 11 or 12, and one of them, I think it's 11. No, maybe it's earlier than that. But there is a link there to get press free press credentials.
That's what I said. Also, they should become notaries. That way they can notarize someone's affidavit when they spell out what they just heard in the courtroom.
Well, yeah, they can't notarize their own document.
No, but a notary has a lot more power than you think it does.
Yeah, I know.
A notary can give an oath that what you're saying is true and put that down on the paper that you sign, and that makes it an affidavit.
Right, an evidence of real evidence.
So by having people that are notaries, you probably wouldn't want a notary that was sitting in the courtroom, but what I'm trying to say is they can notarize the affidavit.
Yeah, I get
and then
it,
other people in the courtroom can swear to that's what they heard as well. And then you have two or three witnesses, and it makes it very powerful, hard to overcome.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
Hello. I'd like to know. Hi, is Laura on this evening?
Yeah, I am. Sorry. Fine.
Oh, dear Laura Legere?
Legere, uh-huh.
Legere, I'm so sorry.
That's okay, don't worry.
Okay, well, anyways, we were emailing each other last week. My name's Tanya, and so we've talked to Tanya McCaff. Yeah, and I said that I would come on the call today, so...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's so nice of you to say that. Thank you. I do have a question. I'm having some problems with my computer, and we were going back and forth, and Carl did actually, he did actually send me an email and told me what to do, but I'm still having problems logging on because I did want to sign up for Courtroom Observers for, I have a case next week in court on Wednesday. I don't know what to do. Like, I'm having a problem logging on to the website. That's my problem, you know?
You can't log in?
Yeah, I can't. I don't know why. I even changed my password, and I still can't. I don't know what's going on. So I have no idea. And Carl and I were actually on, Skype, and then something happened to my account, too. I can't even do that. I don't know.
Oh, weird. My computer just died on me, and I had to get another one. I don't know.
What I'm going to ask you to do
is just email me and ask me to email you the Courtroom Observer form, and you can just send it to me. Once you fill it out, send it to me, and then I'll just put it in the notice thing.
Really? That would be so nice of you. I would really, really appreciate that.
Yeah,
so
but just email
much.
Me so that I, you know, I won't forget.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. So you just want me to send you an email reminder? Because I could I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll do that. So just for the Courtroom Observers form, is that it?
Yeah. And so tell us about your case.
So what happened was I had a federal case. It was I was the plaintiff. And the federal defendants were the CIA, the NSA, and the FBI. And so it was a FOIA case, so for, you know, freedom of information.
Right.
And we filed FOIA requests. I hired an attorney, actually, to help me when all of me back in 2014. I gave him some documents that I had received, actually, from the NSA, other governments, and in foreign countries as well. So anyways... So we decided to do that. We did that for a year. And then after he said, okay, well, they keep coming back saying they don't have anything. And he said, now if you want, you can file a FOIA lawsuit. And I said, okay. So all of this was, you know, this is all new to me, so I'm still learning, you know. And so because he's located in Buffalo, he was a civil rights activist attorney. He said, you know, you can do it pro se. I won't be able to file for you, but I'll help you out. So... make a long story, we were in litigation. I think it started in May of 2015. And what happened was during the full year of them, the federal defendants coming back and stating we don't have anything, which was not true. You know, at the minimum, they would have to produce at least the documents that I gave them, you know?
Right, right.
So, so then what happened was they came back and they continued to say they don't have anything. And then basically the two of the defendants, which was the CIA and the NSA, the judge one agreed with them. And so what I did was I filed a notarized affidavit, because as I started learning, I'm like, okay, that's it. These people, like, for sure they're lying now, and they call them out on everything. So I filed a notarized affidavit in January of 2016, and nobody, for a long time, nothing happened. Then all of a sudden, one day, it was October, where the judge finally responded. Actually, that's not true. They did respond in July. They came up with, I don't know, he came up with something. I can't remember exactly what it was, saying that they were changing judges. And then in October, I kind of called him out on something. And so next thing you know, he says, okay, we're going to, you know, we'll come to court on such and such a date. And so then he ended up postponing that again. And our argument was, well, you know, we do have something. Now, at this point, the FBI came back. They said, I don't know, I think they had like 27 pages or something. So they redacted most of it. And they did come back with a couple of documents that I had received from them in the past. And anyways, what happened was the FBI says they want to withhold two documents, just two. And we argued and said, you know, I mean, what's the big secret? And they came back and they, you know, their argument was, well, due to, you know, police security, you know, we don't want to.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they said. That was their argument.
I know they always use national security, this or that.
Well, that's exactly, I mean, everything's under national.
It's
that's
just
right.
Their insecurity. That's all it is.
But the question is, who are they securing? Not our nation, themselves, right? You know what I mean? That's the thing. Not nobody else. They're definitely not securing the United States, okay? So that's their argument, and they came back and they said, well, if we reveal this information, it's special police tactics that they use, and then everybody would know about it. So
you mean lying?
Yeah, that too. And we came back and we said, well, you know, I mean, what could it be? I've never had any problems with the law in my entire life, but I am a citizen of two other countries, you know, besides this one. And so I don't know, and I've never had any problems with the law, so what could there possibly be? You know, there can't be anything. There isn't anything, you know, and what I'm looking for, they for sure would not provide. So that was the key here. It doesn't matter what they would have came back with. It's just all lies, you know. So our argument was, we want you to give the two pages to our judge so the judge can do an in-camera inspection and he can make a decision to see if the pages would be released. Well, this happened in January. We were supposed to get together. The judge, we went ahead and we agreed that we're going to meet. I think it was on the March 23rd. I know, just hold on. March the, what's the date today? Yeah, March the 23rd. And then 2 days before, I went down to the courthouse on Tuesday, and I said, I want to double check to see when this is. I don't know if it's at 9 in the morning or at 1:30. I want to reconfirm to make sure I'm on the first. So your case has been closed. She said, yeah, we just sent the information yesterday. The judge closed the case. I said, yeah. Okay. She goes, I'll give you the paperwork, and that was it. The thing is, I've been kind of, you know, I've been calling everybody out on their stuff, you know. So if I feel like you're doing something wrong or violating my rights, I'm going to let you know this. And so I don't, you know, I think that's probably what it was. Maybe got upset about something. I have no idea.
So what was it that you were asking in the Freedom of Information? What were you asking for?
Asking for specifically that. Did they have any information on me?
On you?
Yeah, on me. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it was for. And so they came back and two of the agencies said no, and the third one said, yeah, we have something. They gave what they had, and then the two pages, they said they don't want to. So anyways, that's all it was. That's what happened. So I did find out when I spoke to this lawyer in Buffalo, he said, you know, you can appeal if you want to, but I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm going to do that. I could possibly or do, I don't know, like a court of rec. I mean, excuse me, counterclaim or something like that. But I don't know. I'll have to think about what I'm going to do because I really feel like I've done a lot in exposing everything that's going on. So I just kind of, I don't know, I'm still deciding what to do, you know?
Well, okay. I mean, one of the things that we at National Liberty Alliance, you know, we don't go after certain things because it's a small, well, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, looking, getting, you know, the Freedom of Information Act is a small thing, but, you know, like for, I'm just going to give you, for instance, we don't go after the birth certificate or a driver's license, try to drive without a driver's license because the trouble you can cause, the risk of how much more trouble you're going to cause for yourself isn't worth it. So we're working on more of the systemic issue of restoring the common law in the courts, because all that stuff will go away once that happens. And so
right. We've
been educating with the documents that NLA creates and sends out to all 94 districts for the last 3 years. We've just been educating all those people on what their real job is.
Mm-hmm.
And because they really didn't know. A lot of them didn't. There's very few. I mean, there is a gym here and there who gets it and is happy about what we're doing. Or there's people that are silently cheering us on but can't, you know, let anybody know. So, you know, you have to weigh out how much is this going to cause me a lot more trouble than it's worth, is it? I mean, even though they're not, you know, they're not, I mean, the whole system is not legal anyway.
Right.
Or lawful.
Right. But this whole thing started because this actually has to do, it's in conjunction with my family law case. They removed my children, okay? They put a restraining order on me. I mean, they have taken this to the extreme for no reason, okay? They have put me through hell because of this, you know. And
because
actually,
of you requesting the Freedom of Information Act?
No, prior to then. Because what happened was in March of 2014, I sent all of these documents, these government documents and other documents, I sent it to the court, okay, to the Superior Court of California because I was asking for help. They went missing in action. Nobody will claim where they are. Nobody wants to say where they are. This is what I put in the notarized affidavit. I even provided the proof of service and everything that it was sent. I've requested the documents. I stated twice, okay, you need to provide me the proof of service where these documents went. You're saying that you sent them here, but I want the proof of service where they went, government documents in there. And they went out to the police and Interpol and all over the place. Anyways, from what happened was, from this time, they removed my children. In the family court, they put me on supervised visitation. They took away their American passports. I mean, it's ridiculous. So then after that, I mean, I didn't know what to do, you know? So I went and because of this letter said something of information. So I went ahead and I started to look into that. Anyway, led me down a rabbit hole. But besides that, you know, this is just something separate outside of what I'm actually dealing with, this whole family law thing, you know. But had they come back with something, what I'm specifically looking for, then I believe that would help me in my family law case. But because my judge all of a sudden abruptly closed this, and that's it, it's kind of, you know, I have to decide what, you know, how far I really want to take it. So
right.
The bottom line. Yeah, the bottom line is the problem is my family law case. Now, because they're harassing me continuously, you know, I don't see my kids. I mean, it's just gotten out of hand. And believe me, I've done everything I possibly could, you know, and they just, like when I was on the call the other night on Monday night and I was listening, and it's true, they are completely corrupt. They don't follow their own laws or rules.
No, they don't.
They do whatever they want. This is more evident. And the more I talk about this with people, people have the same situation, you know, it's very similar. Like, at first I thought it was just me until I started looking into it. I'm like, my God.
They lost you. You there?
Oh, no, I wanted to talk to her because I'm from Buffalo area.
Right. Well, she just got cut off.
I don't know what happened. It just all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. But anyways,
okay.
So that goes back to the stuff that NLA is kind of doing. You know what I mean? So that's really where my fight is. It's there with all of that other stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to, you know, have to continue doing whatever it is I need to do and try to. What I wanted to know is, I know John had mentioned Monday night, he said that they were going to start up habeas corpuses again, and I guess they're not doing them at this time. Is that correct?
Well, they're getting ready to do them again. Yeah, so they had, not been doing them for a while.
Okay, that's what I thought. And then he did talk about also, and I don't know if this is off topic, but he talked about the mortgage foreclosures. What I wanted to know if that had anything to do with, so I don't have a mortgage foreclosure situation, but I did have a property, and the HOA wasn't paid, and I think they took over. So that probably wouldn't be in the same category, right?
What I don't understand what
an HOA. Is an HOA.
So that's the homeowners association.
To buy it through the homeowners?
The homeowner. Did I buy through the homeowner? No, I didn't. But the property was paid off, you know, but because of what was happening in our family law case, the opposing counsel had the money, but he refused to release it to me. So, I mean, I wasn't able to pay, you know, like my ex-husband doesn't pay child support or spousal support. I mean, you know, we were married for like 17 years. It's just ridiculous. You know, the whole thing is just horrific. But, you know, I mean, we do this to people.
So they took your property because they took your money. Is that what you're saying?
We bought the property. Right, and it was paid for in cash, but the homeowners association wasn't paid for a while. So, it's my understanding, the homeowners took over the property.
What? Because,
yeah.
Wow.
Mhm.
Well, so, I would say that's another angle that they use.
Yeah.
So I would say yes, you get in with the mortgage foreclosure thing.
Was
that a gated community?
No, I don't know. They're not gated. I don't think so. I don't know. They're not gated.
Did you sign a contract with that organization that took your home?
Yeah, I did. I mean, yeah. Uh-huh.
What was that contract for?
We signed the property, like we bought it through real estate, right? And then I knew there was a homeowner's and it was being paid for, but like I said, opposing counsel who was holding on to our account wouldn't release any funds, and so I wasn't able to keep up with payments. And they left me responsible to pay everything, and I haven't worked in 18 years. So, I mean, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe what happened. So, I mean, and they have me on, like I told you, they also have me on supervised visitation. I have to pay for that. I mean, it's just seriously what is going on. It's ridiculous. So, but what happened with that particular property was, I don't know. I'd have to look at my papers. I don't know exactly, but I know we have a homeowner that's supposed to be paid each month, and as far as I know, they just took it over. You know?
And you paid the money to an attorney, and the attorney withheld giving them the money? Did he put the money in escrow?
No, that's not what I mean. What happened was the court forced the sale of our home, So once they forced the sale of her home, it went into an account, a trust account that his attorney was holding on to. Well, first it was my attorney, then it was his attorney. His attorney was holding on to, but he wouldn't release funds. And so I wasn't able to pay, you know, that's what happened.
Well, number one, your home will fall under what John is doing with NLA.
Yeah.
I lost the property taxes, actually two of them. And my places will fall under what John is doing with the foreclosure and tax foreclosures as well. So what you're doing is you already had the place paid for. So somebody's committed fraud. They stole your home is what they did.
Yeah, well, it was paid for. And then, again, like I said, but you're supposed to pay Homeowners Association every single month. If it was $250, right?
Why?
So,
why? For what?
Well, that's what it, for whatever it is. But that's how much, that's the, it is like a townhome community, like a condo type of community. I don't know. It's a rental unit, okay? So the thing is, you have to pay a homeowners association, but I wasn't able to pay for it because I couldn't afford to. So
it almost sounds like they purposely withheld the money so they could do that. To me, they do crap like that all the time.
It's part of the plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. You know, they push people to the extreme to see how far they can really push them, you know. I mean, I feel like they want me out of not only this county, this country. it's crazy, you know. It's just like one thing after another. But anyway,
what town was that house in? What town was that in?
It's in Sacramento.
Oh, it's in Sacramento, California.
Yeah, I'm in San Jose, California. Yeah.
Oh, you're in California. I thought you were in Buffalo.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. My attorney was in Buffalo. That's the one I was talking about. No. I'm in San Jose, California, and this rental unit is in Sacramento.
Oh, heck, because I could help you out here in New York. You were here in Buffalo. That's where I'm from.
Oh, really? Yeah, no, I'm not. Like I said, that lawyer that was helping me is in Buffalo.
Was it Cambria? It wasn't Cambria, was it?
In Buffalo?
Yeah, what was his name?
Oh, his name is, his name is Michael Kuzma.
I don't know him.
No, he's a civil rights attorney. I think he even works for the city. He's a really nice person, you know, really nice man. So,
why'd you pick him if you live in California?
I picked him because, I got a letter from the NSA. And it said, it stated on the letter, this is an improper FOIA request. I had no idea what that was, so I started to look into it. Then I thought, you know, I want to do this properly because I'm having a lot of problems, it seems like. So I looked specifically for FOIA attorneys. I did find one. I didn't really care for him. He was going too back and forth too much with emails, and that's not my thing. I prefer to talk on the phone. And then I found this other attorney, and, you know, we talked right away. He was very nice and very helpful, and that's how I found him. You know, plus I'm from Toronto, you know, so whenever I went to Canada to visit my family, I would just go over the border to see him, and we'd have lunch together or whatever and talk about the case.
Well, what I would do if I were you is to do an affidavit of your home, number one. Also fill out an affidavit on the chain of events that happened with your children. And when John goes to file these cases, the first thing he's going to ask you for is that affidavit. The affidavit has all the facts in it that surround your cases. Don't mix the two together. Keep them separate. Keep it simple. In chronological order, one at a time, one sentence, one thought.
Okay.
Okay. And you're going to need to do that with the dates, the times, the places, the people, the names of the people, whatever people are involved, judges, you've got law guardians, you have lawyers, attorneys, and everybody who you can remember or have proof of who they are. And you can even do that through just a request to the court, and they will furnish you the names of these people, because that has to go into the case in your affidavit. so that when John brings it to trial, these are the people that are going to have to answer for what authority they have to deny you your children, unless you
right.
were a criminal, unless you were a criminal or had some extenuating circumstances, or they can prove harm that you were harming those children. They have no authority to take your property. Those children are your property, not theirs.
Yeah, there isn't anything. I raised our kids. The dad was never around, and so then, you know, after I left my husband, and you know, I mean, anyways, it's just ridiculous what happened. It just went too far, and I really asked for help. I truly did, and I mean, I went as far as asking the other two countries that I'm a citizen of, so are my children. At this point, they refuse to get involved. They just won't, no matter what. But I even told them, I said, you know what? You're supposed to get involved as far as my kids go, because this is under child abuse. You know, you're supposed to protect them, right? There were 6 reports against dad by mandated reporters against the dad with to CPS, and he still has the kids. I mean, you know what? It's just.
Are the children citizens of the United States, or do they have their citizenship in those two countries that you came from?
Yeah, so they were born in the United States, and they're also citizens. They have citizenships from the other two countries.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So if they were born here, then America, the United States, has the original jurisdiction over them.
Right, yeah, right.
That's why the two countries don't want
to
help you.
Communications Network.
Oh, sorry. That's why they don't want to help you, or they can't help you.
But under child abuse, like if you specifically go under Canada, under child abuse, they can. And I even contacted, what's that called? What are they? The out there in Brussels, what's it called?
The Hague?
The Hague.
Yeah, exactly. I even contacted them. They gave me some nonsense email about, you know, I have to go through court proceedings. You know what? I've been trying every court thing I possibly can do, and nothing's working because they're just doing their own thing. It doesn't matter what I do.
I know.
They go,
do this, do that, whatever, and then it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it doesn't. You know, and I'm doing everything properly. You know, I mean, I had 5 attorneys. I spent $500,000. And, you know, now I'm doing everything on my own. It doesn't matter what I do, even though I argue it properly and beautifully from everything I've learned.
Oh, I know.
They're
just stupid.
They just do their own thing. But then as far as my kids take, like, such the extreme, and I just, you know, I know at one time we were doing, National Liberty Alliance was doing habeas corpuses, but then I found out that they stopped doing that, right? So in the meantime, what I did was I signed up for that course, I've been going on also Bill Thornton's website, because I'm trying to see how I can file my own papers, you know, try to figure all this out.
Mm-hmm.
And that other course, Jurisdictionary. Has anybody tried that?
No, what?
Jurisdictionary.
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
Okay, again, that's how to file papers, like through court of record and counterclaim and stuff.
Oh, well,
like
we
that.
Have that on National Liberty Alliance, how to do that, too.
We have that too, huh? Okay, because I'm having a hard time with the website and trying to get in. So I'm just
right. I know. Sorry.
Yeah. So that I know it's okay. It's because you know what? I'm not that good with the computer. That's the thing. And so I have a really hard time. I get frustrated and I leave it alone for a while. So, but anyways, and the other thing too, what I wanted to say was, for the court administrator. So I got an email the other day from National Liberty Alliance, and I had signed up to be court administrator when I signed up to become a member in 2015. So I already finished the civics course, the first class, and
mm-hmm.
I started the second one, and that's what I want to finish. Now, my understanding is that, you know, to for the court for the administrator, do you have to log in again? Like, do you have to? Something came in an email last week. Is there more logging information or more information that's needed to qualify for that? Do you know?
To qualify for courtroom administrator?
Yeah, exactly. Is there? Would you happen to know this?
Well, they just want you to take the civics course and the constitutional course, and then they said they were going to have some other kinds of trainings, but I haven't seen where that is yet.
You could
bring this up on the conference call on Monday night. That would be good, actually.
Actually, what's really good is that Monday night, there's so much talking going on. It's really nice to listen because there's so much information, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really great, you know, like lots of information that's going on there. One thing is he did mention, he was talking, I got in a little bit late. It was about 6:25, something like that, my time in California. I missed, he was talking about Annalee has now the case in New York, right?
Yes.
Okay, and so nobody can get in on that right now, or do you know?
Oh, anybody listen to the Monday night call and find out what's going on with that?
I wasn't able to hit the call, but last week I think I caught part of it, and they were talking, and he said that they did get some response back. I don't know what the response is. I just downloaded the two programs from last week and the week before,
okay.
And I don't know what the consensus was with the papers that were sent to John in response to what he filed in there.
Hmm. Well, did he sound like they just did, you know, just their regular rote thing that didn't really address it?
That's what it appeared. That's what it appeared to me. I think I didn't hear the whole thing, so I
okay,
really don't
yeah,
want to get.
Because a lot of times when they respond, their response is really not responding to the, you know,
right.
They're not addressing. They're not dealing with what you're. They're not dealing with you. They're just giving you some robo response, you know.
Exactly.
And that is that's actually you know, well that's. A crime.
Yes.
And John really, you know, he figures out how to respond to him again. I've dealt with this too with other stuff. Gosh, you know, when I, you know, you really put it to them and they just give you, some robot answers you and doesn't even make any sense.
So what happens is they fail to answer the demands, and then you put them under default.
Right, so they're under default.
What?
They do that all the time. They default all the time. But,
yeah.
Oh, if you default or they get you in a default, oh, boy, is it going to cost you.
Yeah, they dismiss it. They don't want to hear
well,
you're just.
But, dude, he was saying on Monday that now he was talking about, like, if the judges, if they, you know, come back with some kind of nonsense response, he said, oh, what we're going to do now is we're going to write a error of writ or writ of error.
Yeah, writ of error, yeah.
Yeah, so can anybody do that in any case? Like, that's the thing.
Yes.
Yeah, but
I wish you could figure out your login information because we have all those kinds of things that you can just download off their website.
Okay, so this comes back to, right, this comes back to this FOIA case that I have, right, which is, okay, maybe it doesn't, you know, it is kind of separate, but it is also together. My judge, the decision that he made, is for him just to close this case, I'm not okay with it. I want those last two pages, or at least he should have looked at this and made a decision, and he could have said, okay, well, I'm going to look at it, and then what I'll do is I'll decide if it should be released or not. And instead of him just saying, I'm going to close the case, that's not okay with me. So what I wanted to know as I was listening to this conversation on Monday, I wanted to know so that if that's something that I could do, is do the writ of error and call him out on his nonsense response.
You could.
I could, eh?
Yeah.
What is your name? What is your first name? What is your first name?
My first name's Tanya.
Tanya, okay. Remember this, Tanya. Whenever you file a case and you are the plaintiff, No matter what the judge does, no matter what the judge rules or decides, if it's not in your favor, it's not over until you say it is over, because you're the one that got it into the court. You filed the case. You paid the money for response and for restitution or whatever your case involves. And if you don't get the satisfaction that you need or want, it is not over. So that writ of error is very detrimental to your case. You need to file that in your cases.
Oh, okay, because apparently I only have 30 days to file in this federal case. You know, I,
now, remember, okay, well, hold it. A writ is common law. It's not statutory.
Right. Okay, well, so, this is a federal, but if it's a federal case, no, I know what you're, I get what you're saying, but I'm the plaintiff. I mean, still, does it matter? Can I still file this? Because I am the plaintiff.
Yes.
And.
Yes, when you file it, you want to put these words in the first paragraph, that I, whatever your name is, and however you file the case, come now with this writ of error, NUNC, N-U-N-C, PRO, P-R-O, TUNC, T-U-N-C.
What's your name? Because I didn't get all of that. I'm sorry. What's your name?
My name is Mike.
Okay, Mike. Can you repeat that again? I'm so sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. NUNC. N-U-N-C.
No, you said I is my name, right? So it would be
yeah,
my name
yeah.
is Tanya McCash.
Okay.
Tanya McCash.
Right.
Uh huh.
Right. The plaintiff herein files this notice, or I'm sorry, files this writ of error, comma, NUNC. N-U-N-C. Is one word. Second word is PRO, P-R-O, like Paul, Robert, Orange. And the last word is TUNC, T as in Thomas, U as in Uncle, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie. And the first word is NUNC. First word is NUNC, N as in Nancy, U as in Uncle, C. N-U-N-N as in Nancy again, and C as in Charlie. N-U-N-C, NUNC pro tunc. Now that means now for them.
Okay.
And another thing too is when you in that first sentence, before you get to, you are filing this writ, before you put in between filing and writ, put in timely. You're timely filing this writ. Of error, nunc pro tunc, now for them. So now you're eliminating.
Would you be able to, is there any way that you can call me and we can talk on the phone about this, or no, you don't do that?
Absolutely, I'll be glad to.
Really? Okay, great. Would I be able to get your phone number, or do you want mine?
Either way, I can give you mine. Mine is 716.
Okay.
785.
Yes.
7396.
Yes. Okay.
And that's in New York.
Okay, so my question is, to do this, I don't have to pay extra, do I, for this thing?
No.
Okay.
Do not pay extra.
Because I was told I'd have to file an appeal and I have to pay another $450, you know, that
right,
I have to go to appeal.
If you file an appeal, but you don't have an appealable issue, they're just taking your money is all they're doing.
Okay, so let's say Tanya McCash, that's me, right? The plaintiff herein files this timely writ of error, comma, nunc pro tunc. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Uh-huh, and then what? What does that do?
Okay, and then you'll go through and put in your reasons why. Why don't we talk on the phone after the call or later or something, because I don't want to tie this phone up, because we got, you know, other people might want to talk as well. I have something else I have to say.
I'm so sorry. Okay, can I call you tomorrow? Would that be okay?
Tomorrow will be kind of busy. How about tonight? How about when we get done with the call tonight?
Yeah, that's fine. Because I'm calling, like, for me it's only 7, for you it's 10 o'clock. It's kind of late. Is that okay, though?
I'm up till 5 in the morning, so I'm good.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're very welcome.
Okay.
I'll help you what I can. I'll give you some ideas.
I'm calling from a 408 area code. My number is 408-364-5914.
Hold on. I just put my pen down. 408-364-5914. Gotcha. You have an email account? Do you have an email too?
Yes, my email is Tanya
McCash. Okay. Why don't you give it to me later on the phone?
Okay,
give
that's fine.
Okay,
sure.
And then we can switch our information back and forth, too. Okay, very good. Very good.
Oh,
looking forward
great.
To it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Well,
all right.
That was a good call. So, about 10 o'clock?
I got something real quick I want to say.
Okay. Uh-huh.
If I can.
All right.
Okay. If anybody ever listens to Alex Jones, there's Roger Stone is one of the hosts sometimes, and he's involved with Donald Trump.
Yeah, right.
Tomorrow he's being dragged into court. They're trying to put him out of the way with slanderous issues. And the court he's going to is in New York City tomorrow at 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Can you
send me... can you send me a thing on that? And I'll just send out the notice tonight.
Yes, please. Would you do that?
Yeah, just email it to me.
And hi, this is Crystal.
Wait a minute. Michael?
Yes.
Okay, so email. Do you have my email?
Yes, if it's the same as what it has been, yes, I do have it, Laura.
Yeah, so just email me about and give me all the logistics and I'll send out the notice tonight because Alex Jones, something's going on with him because he's apologizing to James Alafontes or something.
Who?
I don't know.
The guy of pizza, the Pizzagate guy.
Oh.
He's apologizing and acting like it was all fake what he was saying about him.
Hi, Laura. This is Terry in New Jersey. That got me stumped, too. I was wondering what the hell was going on there.
Well, maybe he's got a chip in his head. I don't know, but something.
I didn't hear
David
about
Seaman
it.
Isn't backing off.
Huh?
David Seaman isn't backing
off.
Yeah,
right, exactly, right. Well, anyway, I'm going to close it down, but Crystal, did you want to tell us something?
Yeah, the other night I heard on... I forgot what station it was, but the sheriff was going off in Austin, Texas, on the governor and also on the attorney general.
They were what?
They said that the attorney, I guess he had a beef with the governor office. He's going to have a beef with the governor's office and the attorney general of Austin, Texas.
Yeah, and what's happening?
I didn't hear the outcome because I don't have a computer or nothing, but I found that quite interesting, you know.
Was that because of the sanctuary cities?
I really didn't even, you know, I just caught the tail end of it. I heard no more about it, but it was Austin, Texas, and it was about the dispute the sheriff was having with the governor and the attorney general.
I think it was about her. She was releasing criminals. She was not putting everyone in jail. She was making some kind of decision like that, and the governor was saying that she can't do this, and he wants to remove her from her position. And that's what we talked about Monday night, I think, on the NLA call. So they were saying, and that was the concern, that another government official cannot remove an appointed official cannot remove another appointed official.
Right, that's what I wonder, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, as a matter of fact, it happened on Monday night because when I did speak, I had mentioned it to John. You know, again, I don't have the computer, but I said, wow, and it was on during the time the National Liberty Alliance called, and I said, I just saw this on the news just now. You know, what was the outcome? But I knew it was going to court. I guess it would have been Tuesday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's one thing you were talking about a little bit earlier, and I'll just get it. It's the gated community, and it's like a 99-year lease. Well, the people turned around and sold their homes, and they sit there and take all the money. Like, we had an incident up here. The woman sold her home for like $400,000. She got into one of the gated communities, and then she wanted to sell it, and she couldn't sell it because she was locked in all kind of crazy contracts, and by the time she could get her money out of it, she would have maybe walked with $5,000. And then she couldn't even leave anything to her kids. So what this woman had done, because this is when I first heard about this about 12 years ago, she went to the bank and remortgaged her unit, and that's how she got her money out of it. But the other people got stuck with this. So, yeah, that's a big Ponzi scheme because you never own the land, you know, and it's all under those contracts. So be careful what you sign when you buy and when you sell your home and you give, you know, the sale of your house into those gated communities because you just gave all your life inheritance away.
So what she did, she remortgaged it, so she left that with them.
Well, yeah, that's when I first heard about that Ponzi scheme. And I said that's why they were all popping over, like the gated community. And then one of my cousins, he did the same thing, sold his home for $200,000-$300,000, and he's in the same situation, which I didn't realize because he lives in another state. And I said, oh, my God, that's the biggest Ponzi scheme going around. So people got to be careful when they go. And then it's better, if you do want to downsize, it's better to go into a senior citizen housing or give yourself life use of that property, you know, especially when the kids are grown, get everything out your name. So God forbid if anything should happen to you or you should get sick or become disabled, they cannot touch it after 5 years, you know.
A senior citizen community? They can't do anything about the senior citizen community? Is that what you said?
I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. You said they can't do anything about the senior citizen community? Is that right or no?
No, what
if
I just
said...
If you give, like, say, for instance, your parents are, you know, over 65 years of age and they got a house and all that in their name, get everything out their name, because God forbid if they should have an accident or get sick or whatever the case is. After 5 years, you know, once they, you give them life use and the remaining owner goes into whomever you want their names to go to, their kids or what have you, and upon their demise, you just take that death certificate and you file it, and that's it. And you ain't got to deal with all that crazy, what is it called, probate and all that other stuff. And that's exactly what we did for my mother. I used to help a lot of people do that. And I learned that back in the 70s. But the attorneys won't tell you that stuff anymore because the biggest money making they get today is on estates or foreclosures.
Okay. Right. Well, listen, I've got to close the call down. So,
okay.
Anyway, good night, everybody. And.
Good.